Well, good morning, Substack. Actually, it's afternoon. It's 2:29, so it's later in the day. This is doing this. I decided to do an update since I couldn't do a roundtable last night. I've been down for the count with this cold for the last 3 days, 4 days now, actually. So I wanted to clear some things. We manipulate you in three ways, actually four ways, but it's really three. We go after your we go after your bias, and we go after your cultural and social narratives. And we also use technology to do it and go after technology and manipulate technology to influence you to believe a certain thing. In this case, the last 5 years are replete with examples of where we have where the public has been manipulated to completely upend their belief system. The first was COVID and the mask mandates. It completely upended cultural narrative for generations, and it upended the doctrine that had been preached for literally generations around vaccinations, wearing masks, the cultural acceptance of vaccinations, the fact that personal health information was private. There was a host of different narratives that were blown away by COVID. And think about all the Karens that you ran into at the store when the mask mandates came down. It completely changed the cultural narrative and social narrative literally overnight. And literally overnight, the elite sent home 9 billion people with basically the stroke of a pen. And not only did they send people home, they created a massive sense of fear, and they played on it and completely upended people's belief systems. How did they do that? They attacked your bias. They attacked your belief system. They not only attacked your belief system, but they made you feel like your belief system was completely and totally ethically and morally wrong. That is the effect of a highly effective information operations campaign. Highly effective. And the fact that they basically brought all the liberal communists out of the woodwork to report their neighbors, that's classic communist doctrine 101 right there. Create this massive sense of fear. Instill with people that if you don't go along with the program, other people will die. And all the lemmings signed up to report their neighbors. They played on people's control mechanisms. They played on people's belief systems that they had to do the right thing. They played on the fact that people were bred for the last 30 years to be rule followers all across the planet. It was highly effective. And that was the gist of talking about bias, talking about beliefs, probability versus possibility, because most of us get wrapped up in our bias and our belief system to where we think that can't possibly happen to me. That can't possibly happen to anybody I know. That can't possibly be something that they would do to average people. And you're seeing it play out every single day. In fact, here's the perfect example. For the last 15 years, they've been preaching that we got to get off of fossil fuels. We have to get off of fossil fuels. If you get a battery, if you get an electric car, you'll be helping the environment. If you get an electric, you know, if you switch over to the electric grid, you'll be saving the planet, blah, blah, blah. So all these virtue signaling liberals went out and bought electric cars. And then almost overnight, they were influenced to burn their car and burn other cars and attack Tesla dealers. That is the effect of going after your bias and your belief system. And what they've done is they flooded the system with all these mixed messages that destroy a Christian work ethic, a Christian belief system, belief in the family, belief in the nuclear family, and belief that there's a higher purpose than self. If you look at our society over the last 20 to 25 years, you will see a very a very startling revelation. And that is, they have preached the doctrine of self over everything else. The doctrine of collecting stuff. If you have more stuff, then you're more successful. As well as the social influencer phenomenon. If you're this popular, you get this many clicks, then you're special. When the reality is, the people who are really special in our society are those people that are good parents, that have a belief system, a moral compass to guide their children and grow their children's belief system so that they believe in something bigger than themselves, a higher purpose, selfless service. And it's, they clear attack on Christians and women, especially women, for the last 15 years. And this, you can't blame this on a specific person, because all of this started before political correctness. So Tom Luongo talked about the whole idea of civility. And civility is just a mechanism to keep you under control, to abide by somebody else's rules. Way back to the early 1800s, we're going to bring civil society to a bunch of heathens in the New World. It goes back hundreds of years. It's this belief system that your belief is wrong and their belief is right, and that you need to conform to their belief system. And their belief system dictates that you don't question authority, that you don't go against the grain, that you get along to go along. It's been a consistent theme for generations. But where we took the turn was political correctness. That's when we turned into full communist mode. And the full communist doctrine is, there's no, it's basically deconstructionist. They deconstruct the nuclear family. They deconstruct the idea of belonging to a tribe, to a family, or to a community. Everybody's the individual. The collective is the total. And the collective outrules all of these different belief systems. And the collective decides what's best for the group. So they want to kill your family ties, your tribal ties, your religious ties, your political ties, and they want to roll you up to this massive belief system. How else do you think they've convinced people to cut off their genitals and tell themselves that they're a different gender when that's not possible? It's physically not possible. And they're doubling down in all these blue states. It's because this process for so long, and part of information operations in information warfare is about beating the drum with consistent messaging for a very long time. Influencing operations, as I've said, take a very, very long time. As you go through those influencing operations, you continue to beat the same messages and the same drum with different formats. So over time, people believe it, normalize it. That's what they did in COVID. They normalized the fact that we were going to be home for just 2 weeks and it was going to be fine. Then they normalized the fact that it was going to be longer. Then they normalized the fact that, oh, we got to go into masks after 3 months of coughing at each other, stepping over each other, et cetera, et cetera. They keep upping the ante until the public pushes back. And we never push back. The only thing we ever did was good. We didn't want to deal with the ass pain. So we just put on the mask. We stepped on the blue marks on the floor. We did the social distancing. We stayed home. We abstained from friends. Well, I didn't, but everybody else did. So you can make the leap right there.
All of us played our part. Every single one of us. We all went along to get along. Not all of us, but enough of us. And that's why they've been able to push so many agendas. And the other reason why I talked about probability versus possibility and why those two matter is that we're looking at things right now through a lens that we've never been able to look through before. And we're seeing disclosures that we've never been able to, let's just say, they were never mainstream. They were always considered conspiracy or extremist views. And the one I'm specifically talking about is the release of documents by Argentina concerning Hitler. Now, everybody that I, literally the moment I talked about that, people lost their minds. But the possibility and the probability are high enough for that to be real, for us to have to consider it and to look at our belief systems and challenge our belief system and challenge our bias and challenge the fact that maybe we were sold a bill of goods and look at the second and third order effects if that's true. Because there's a host of things around that that most people just cannot accept. All these icons from World War II, Eisenhower, all the rest of them, right? All these, you know, Marshall, you can go down the list. They all had to know that Hitler made it out. And I definitively know that Alan Dulles knew that he made it out. He probably facilitated it because Alan Dulles spent the bulk of the war in Switzerland. He's the only U.S. official to have direct contact with the Nazi regime. He's the guy that architected Operation Paperclip. So it's highly possible and probably Hitler made it out of the war and cut a deal. I'll give you all these scientists. Just don't execute me. Why is that so hard to believe? It's possible and it's probable. And that's exactly what I was trying to talk about. That's exactly what I've been trying to tell people. You have to look at what's possible and probable. It doesn't mean you have to buy into it, but it does mean you have to look at the second and third order effects. And here's the second and third order effects. It means that a very large group of people in our knew that Hitler was alive and facilitated his ability to survive in our. The same with Israel, the same with Britain, and the same with the rest of our allies. You can't think for one nanosecond that people at the highest levels of government did not know that he was still alive. He was the top Nazi. He was the guy. And literally, they told us that he was dying from syphilis. He was a drug addict. He had all these different health issues. How much of that was true? And then there's controversy about the skull and the bones that were found at the bunker, the uniforms, etc. If that's true, and he had two daughters after the war, where'd they go? And who facilitated him? Who supported him? Who made sure that he was able to continue living his life in exile? Nazis were with him. And what happened to those Nazis and their families after Hitler died? Did they continue the Nazi movement? Have they moved into the U.S.? Were they put into a, let's just say, exile until they could build enough political strength and ideology under a different banner to come back? When you start to think about the second and third order effects that have come out of this, plus several other Nazi officials that made it to Argentina that were running the Nazi business and the investments in U.S. companies at the end of the war, you can see a pathway for them to establish a Fourth Reich here in the U.S. or in other parts of the world, Ukraine especially. So it's not so far-fetched that if Hitler made it out of the war, the current situation we see in front of us is directly a third and fourth order of effect from that. Not to say that that's true, but it's. And if it's possible, it's probable. And if it's probable, then guess what? We have to look at this from the perspective of how much of our belief system has been tainted by a bunch of evil people. And most people can't look at it from that perspective and say, yeah, this is possible. No, that would never happen. Our leaders would never betray us. Really? Our leaders have let 42 million military-age males, and especially some of the most violent criminals on the planet, have been let into this country over the last 4 years. You don't think that they would do that in order to make the situation so bad that we gladly accept a control grid that they wanted back in the Third Reich? If you look at the situation, there's parallels to the two. They keep, you know, you keep He's pro 2A. Really? If he's so pro pace, why aren't they going after the states, the Second Amendment, like Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts? You could go down the list, California. They're doing nothing. And the same people that were litigating against 2A are still in the DOJ. You can make the leap that it's all lip service. And I would contend to you that one of the possibilities that you might consider is that the last 4 years were induced on purpose so that we would embrace Trump coming in and accept the New World Order as they want it. Technocracy driven by the oligarchs. That's what they've wanted under the World Economic Forum and World Health Organization. Just because we pulled out of the World Health Organization and World Economic Forum doesn't mean we're not implementing our own version of that here. And I'm not saying that's true, but you have to consider the possibility that potentially that could be true, especially given all this new information. And let's just say for one nanosecond that the information about the pyramids is true, right? There's this massive underground complex and synthetic aperture radar can penetrate the ground, which I think is a bunch of horseshit, to be honest with you. Then that opens up a world where history and artifacts around the planet that we've been told are inert. And we have to look at it from the perspective of, okay, what was the purpose of this structure? Who would have built it? Because they weren't building that with picks and shovels. The point of all of this is that we have to look at the perspective that the information we've been given has been curated and manipulated to fit the religion of the state. Because the religion of the state after World War II was Nazis are bad, allies are good, all these allies are heroes, all these guys are evil. And the Nazis did some evil shit. The Japanese did some evil shit. But so did the Russians, and so did we. Most people don't realize we firebombed cities in Japan. Firebombed civilians. We burned entire cities with firebombs. Killed hundreds of thousands of people. So we are not exonerated from any of the war crimes that we accuse the Nazis of. And neither are the British or the Russians. The Russians committed atrocities during the war and after the war. And not to make an excuse for them, but most of the brutal fighting throughout the war was on the Eastern Front. Again, if you believe everything that we've been told about history. If you don't believe everything about history, then you'll look at this with suspect eyes. I tend to believe that a good portion of what we were told about World War II actually happened. I think there's nuances around the end of the war and the start of the war that we were not told. Like what Roosevelt did or didn't know about Pearl Harbor and the fact that he used the Pacific Fleet as bait to bring the Japanese into an attack. Draw them into attacking us. I think Roosevelt absolutely knew and set conditions for the Japanese to attack the Pacific Fleet, which should have been at San Diego and was based in Pearl Harbor for a reason. And I think he absolutely did that on purpose. Now, is it right or wrong? Who knows? You know, there's decisions in the moment, there's time, and there's decisions in reaction to a situation. This was a decision at the time. I can make the case that Roosevelt knew that we were going to be drawn into the war at some point, and it would be easier to sell it to the public if we were attacked, a surprise attack against our forces in the Pacific. It would give us a justification to enter the war. And it would draw Nazis into declaring war on us. You could make that argument. You could also make the argument that he wanted to be in the war and he needed justification so the Japanese would attack. There's a lot of different scenarios. If you look back at 9/11, It's more and more evidence coming out now that 9/11 was conducted by a bunch of Israeli students, art students. And they were brought in for controlled demolition of the buildings. At least that's what more and more evidence is suggesting. And that they used the Saudis that they brought in. John Brennan signed the visas as scapegoats so they could justify a war against radical Islamic terrorists and start the war on terror, which was a bunch of BS as well. Either way, they used our bias, they used our religious beliefs, and they used our cultural beliefs to get us to support two wars. And look at how well it worked. All of us walked into it. We all believed the towers were hit by airplanes. We all believed that the towers came down because of jet fuel. I mean, everybody bought into it. If to say that you were skeptical right away, I think the only guy on the planet that was skeptical was Alex Jones. And back then, he was considered a conspiracy theorist and an extremist. So nobody was listening to him. But he was right. And when you look at how they played our bias against us, my God, they did. You don't support the troops, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. If you don't support the troops, you're with the enemy. And they went by the numbers. Fly the American flag. Show your support for the troops. Show your support for the country. And back then in 2000, America was still very patriotic, right? Americans were all about showing their support because we had just got through Desert Storm 1, right? Which was really a weapons test. Again, another situation where they used our bias, our belief system, and our religion against us. And we fell for that too. Oh, we got to kick Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. We got to make sure that he doesn't, you know, bully his neighbors, blah, blah, blah. We basically told Hussein he could invade. In fact, it was Madeleine Albright that was one of the key instigators of that. And then we went in and threw his ass out. So there's histories replete with examples where we have gone in and we have set conditions so we could go in and claim the moral high ground. And they used all the propaganda that we took for granted against the American public. So the whole propaganda, just 2010 when they signed the Smith-Bund Monitors, it's been going on for a very, very long time. And we, as a society, willingly went along because it matched our belief systems. They prompted us and made it easy for us to accept what they were selling us. We weren't skeptical enough and distrusting enough of the government to second guess it. But because of COVID, because of the vaccines, because of the fact that they weaponized part of the population against us, because they created this highly toxic child grooming trans and gay LGBTQ, whatever, and they keep adding different acronyms to that quote-unquote community, now the public doesn't trust the mainstream. They don't trust politicians. They don't trust the federal government. They don't want a big government. And most importantly, nothing that comes out of any administration the public buys into. Look at the growing rise in calls for people to be arrested for the AG and the FBI director. Every single day, you're seeing more and more noise about where are the arrests. When are you arresting somebody? Stop protecting Israel. Stop going after, you know, MS-13. Leave that to local law enforcement. Tell them where they are. Hand them over to DHS and send them back home. But you, at the federal level, go after the real criminals. Obama, Brennan, the Clintons, Clapper, Hayden, all the rest of them. Arrest someone. Stop dragging your feet. Stop scrubbing Israel and their involvement in all these different criminal activities, and start arresting people. Arrest Mayorkas. He's a clear-cut case of treason. He allowed the invasion of this country and perjured himself in front of Congress. Go arrest someone. That's what you're hearing from the public. And that noise is getting louder every single day. And every single day, people are losing more and more patience. And they're starting to realize that the same people that control Trump controlled Biden. And that the show that was on before was so we would accept this show. And people are starting to not accept this show either. And what you're going to see over the next 6 months is a growing tide of not only anger, but vitriol towards people that are staunchly for Israel. Because you can't hide the genocide in Palestine anymore. You can't justify away the fact that they've committed atrocities that are far worse than anything we've seen across the spectrum for the last 30 years. And they're doing it in the open. And why the Arab world has not responded to that, I will never know. There's going to be a time where it's going to be very dangerous to say that you're Jewish, Israeli dual citizen. And that time is not far away. People are losing patience with this belief system that they're the most traumatized people on the planet. That's a lie. And it's a lie so that you won't go against civility and question their narrative. It's the same playbook they played against us for the last 40 or 50 years. Exact same playbook. Now they want to legislate in the official narrative. It's anti-Semitism. Does that sound a It's the same game. Communist, fascist, doesn't matter. It's the same playbook. And I would contend to you that the same people that were behind the invasion, which, by the way, there was three or four Jewish NGOs that were paid a lot of money to move people into this country. I wonder who was behind them. I wonder which oligarchs were getting paid through USAID to move for illegal aliens into the United States. Gee, I wonder why they don't arrest Mayorkas. Because he's going to sing like a songbird and say that the Jewish mob and AIPAC were a big part of that invasion of our country? That would be terrible. And who knows what's true? But the point is, the public is starting to build vitriol and anger and hatred because of the fact they're not seeing anybody held accountable. And they need someone to blame. So who do you think they're going to blame? The loudest people crying victim. That's who they're going to blame. And it probably won't be far from the truth, from everything I'm seeing. But I could be crazy. But it shows the fact that they can manipulate our belief system. And if, let's just say none of it's true. Let's just say Israel, Netanyahu, they're innocent bystanders. October 7th was a real attack. They didn't facilitate it. They didn't turn off any of their military. And they were caught by surprise and they're retaliating. And that Hamas is still fighting them on the ground. Then you could make the case that we've been sold another bill of goods. And that our belief system has been manipulated yet again. And it shows the point that you have to be skeptical of every narrative. And you have to be skeptical and work backward from what you know to be true to what's absolutely true as far as you can get. Because you're not ever going to get to 100% true. And look, I'm not convinced that Hitler made it out, right? I'm not convinced that there's shit underneath the pyramids. I'm not convinced that there's hidden alien tech around the planet that we haven't discovered yet. I'm not convinced of that. Here's what I know to be true. What I know to be true is we have technology that we developed decades ago that's probably operational now, wasn't operational at the time, that was light years ahead of what we're doing now and what we have now. I know that to be true. And we figured out all that shit on our own. Science. Through experimentation, through research, and through a lot of hard work, we figured that shit out. So if we could figure that out, we could figure the rest out. But somewhere after 1975, we stopped doing new research and we stagnated the science and technology industries. And because of that, we're stuck in this paradigm where we still have all this computer equipment that could be handheld and way more powerful than your iPhone. That's what I know to be true. The rest of it, I can't confirm any of it. But I will explore all the possibilities and probabilities related to it. So if it does turn out to be true and we can verify it and there is proof of it, then we can start looking at all the second and third order of at what that truth brings and what that disclosure really means. Because then we have to start asking the questions around our deep history and where that history leads. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that would shudder to think of all the possibilities there. But that's the point of bringing up bias and belief systems and tying it to probability versus possibility, to break you out of the paradigm that this can't possibly be true. Because yes, it can. And we're in front of us right now in a variety of different ways. The shift in our culture, the shift in the belief system across the country, the fact that we're still dealing with all these illegal aliens and that we're having to deal with them in other ways other than them just being here. Their effect on our culture, their effect on our belief system, their effect on our social behavior. We spend so much time on the issue because we don't want to be called a racist, anti-Semite, homophobe, xenophobe, etc. That's the direct second order of first and second order effects of civility. That's exactly what it is. And if you watch the movie Fight Club, first of all, it's a brilliant movie because it's all about how to get out and get around the system and use the system against itself. It's brilliant in the thought process, how to be a complete antisocial person and create a subculture that's complete antisocial and against all civility. But there's a quintessential quote in that movie, which I think is absolutely dialed into today. And it explains our culture in one very succinct sentence. Spend your whole life working your ass off to buy things to impress people that you don't give a shit about. I want you to think about that for a second. How many decisions do you make in your life based on how this will affect other people, how this will impress other people, how this will land with other people? We've all done it. I've done it. And when I woke up to it, I realized, why do I give a shit about these people? Most of them don't give a shit about anybody but themselves. And the older I get, the more I realize how true that is. Our whole culture has changed from God, country, family, or family, God, country, whichever way you want to call it, being our country. But we've switched to, I got mine. Temper me, I got mine. That's really what our culture's changed to. And it's been subtle. But we've been taught and we've been ingrained as a consumer society that the more stuff we have, the better the stuff we have, the more glitzy the stuff we have, the more special we are. But here's the reality. And I'll use my personal experience. There was a time where I had a boat, I had a plane, I had all the toys, the jet skis, motorcycles, all that bullshit. I was the loneliest fucking dude. Nobody wants to help you put it away. You become the boat fairy. You got to do all the maintenance. You got to clean up. You got to put everything away. You got to make sure everything's serviceable. And then you got to get it all ready for the next time. Same with the airplane. Everybody wants to go up in the airplane. But actually, when it comes time to actually get in the airplane and go somewhere, oh, well, shit, I got something to do. Oh, my God, my pussy hurts. Oh, shit, I've got a doctor's appointment I forgot about. And then you time you use that shit alone. And then you're like, why the fuck do I have this? Complete waste of money. Now, I'm a water skier, so I love my boat. That was fun. It's actually more fun than water skiing. And I used to like flying my airplane, but I like to fly somewhere, right? And go somewhere versus cutting holes in the air. There was times where I was cutting holes in the air just doing currency training. But getting other people in the airplane and get people excited about it. Yeah, they'll do it once or twice. But then after that, that's really not my thing. Like, I got a buddy who's really into skiing. That's his thing, man. He can go do it all year long. As long as there's snow on the ground, he'll be skiing. He doesn't care if there's anybody. And I never went skiing with him. It's like, dude, that's not my shtick. I don't ski. I snowboarded a couple of times, skied a couple of times. Like, don't like this. Not my thing. And everybody's got their own things, right? But it doesn't matter how many toys you have. What matters is what makes you happy. And what I figured out is the stuff that makes me happy is simple stuff. Like antique shopping with my kids. That's the most fun ever. Bought it. Like, my kids and I drove, 2.5 hours over to Eastern Washington a couple years back just so we could go to an antique shop. And we spent all day there. And we bought some really interesting stuff, right? Because one of the things my kids got from me was the fact I like old stuff. It was built better. It lasted longer. You can fix it. You can actually restore it. And it lasts a long time. Like, I've got an old 30s radio out there that I converted to Bluetooth. So it's a Bluetooth speaker. I've got, I used to have a bunch of the old I have all kinds of old radios that I turned into Bluetooth. And there's tons of stuff you could do with some of the old, like, I took these old Westinghouse cabinets. They were old kitchen cabinets this guy had in his garage, and took them up and had them stripped and powder coated. And now they're in my garage. They're my part of my shop out there. And I never would have thought to go that direction, but it was my kids that helped. Like, I have an old sink basin that I use underneath my main workbench in my gun shop that was an old, literally it was an old Murray sink basin that had a porcelain sink in it. I'm kicking myself because I didn't keep the porcelain top. I could have refinished it and used it for something else. But stuff that was made back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s was just made better. It was made with better materials. It wasn't this plastic garbage that we have now, right? But who'd have thought that doing the exercise of shopping and looking at antiques with my kids would be so enjoyable? Like, flying places with my kids and going to do stuff. Like, we'd fly down to Portland and go, bookstore or go to dinner or whatever. That was the most fun ever. Watching my kids fly, going up to get my kid from school and flying back. It's the little stuff like that. I mean, we spent all weekend on the boat and we were all like, man, I'm tired. That wasn't a lot of fun. It's choppy. It wasn't fun. It's finding the stuff that matters to you and forgetting about the stuff that matters to other people. Most people can't do it. Most people are so wrapped up in, I got to be at this position at work. I got to have this status. I got to have this much money. I have to do that. Or I have to be this certain person at church. It's all a facade. It's all an illusion. And it's all an illusion because we trust our belief systems to match the narrative that they want us to. It's just in the last 10 years, we've seen the shift to a more rapid pace of changing belief systems. And the whole intent of it, the end state they're trying to reach, is so that you believe whatever they tell you and you stop believing what your personal belief system is. You stop believing and listening to your internal compass say, wait a minute, that's not right. A lot of us, especially this audience, we were listening to our internal when the vaccines came around. We were all like, nope, this is horseshit. We are not signing up for this. And we stuck to our internal belief system. And for some of us, it cost us jobs. I know it cost me a job. It cost other people their livelihood. People went bankrupt. People lost family members and friends. There's a host of things that people lost. There's a host of things we lost, right? All of us lost something. But we did it anyway because we were not gonna violate our moral compass. And because of that, we turned out to be the ones that weren't crazy after 3 years. And now all those people that got the shot are having buyer's remorse because they're starting to realize from the peer studies that are coming out that they were duped. And look, there's a whole portion of the population that can't get past their bias and can't believe that this is true. It's too late for them. They're never going to figure it out. They're going to die believing that they did the right thing to help humanity by getting the shot. They can never accept that the people that lied to them, to their face, can't help them. But the way we help ourselves moving forward is be skeptical of everything, look at everything with suspect eyes, even from Trump, especially from Trump. And I'm going to keep going back to this so people finally figure it out. I'm going to keep beating the drum on it. His convention was make Israel great again. There was no place in American politics for that discussion to happen during the convention. That wasn't the place. It was inappropriate. And most importantly, it didn't have anything to do with our election. But it told you all in one instance that Israel owns him. And whether you like to hear that or not, guess what? It's becoming more and more apparent that that's true. And we're probably on the eve of an attack against Iran. We have no business attacking Iran. No business whatsoever. I don't care what the intelligence says. I don't care what Five Eyes says. I don't care what they think. We have no business starting another conflict right now. We don't have the logistics, we don't have the force, and we don't have the money to go fight another war, especially with Iran. And the fact that we would do that fits right into what Israel has wanted for at least 10 years now, to destabilize the region so they can take more land. I didn't vote for that. Either. And whether that fits your belief system or not, guess what? It's real. And it's becoming more and more apparent by the day. And here's another little tidbit. And by the way, I never thought I would ever have this discussion or even say half the things I've said about Israel. But I listened to Eric Weinstein, and he literally, and I'm going to say this again because this is a very important point for people to dial in. He literally said, we're the most tribal people on the planet. And yeah, we do some criminal, evil things, but we also do all these good things. Imagine if somebody, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, would have said that. Imagine somebody in the black community that would have said that. We're philanthropists. We give to charities. We do good things for the society. But what comes along with that is evil and criminality. Can you imagine if said that? I was like, well, here's a hint. Don't do evil criminality and you won't be victimized or traumatized. There's a direct correlation between the evil thing you do and the retaliation by the people you do it to. There's not a lot of math there. It's called an eye for an eye. It's actually in the Bible. I believe it's in the Old Testament. You might want to look it up. People don't want to hear the hard truth because their belief system and their bias won't let them hear it. But we're rapidly approaching a point where we're going to have to face the truth. And the truth is, most of our history has been manipulated. Most of what we see in front of us is being manipulated and curated. And in order to see it, you're going to have to get past your bias and your belief system and accept the fact that it's possible and plausible. And most people can't do it. That's the point of the last 2 weeks. The things that we didn't think were possible could be possible. And exactly is disclosed. Whichever format that takes, are you going to believe it? Because I would tell you that most people won't believe it. I've literally sat in front of people with vaccine injuries in the last 5 years. Literally sat in front of them and said, my best friend, one of my best friends on this planet, died after the third booster. Didn't have a choice, had to get the shot, was in the healthcare system. Died within 24 hours of getting the shot. Had somebody I work with die in the parking lot. Didn't even get to the parking lot after their second shot. Well, that happens. Literally. Can't assign causation to that. And it's because their belief system and their bias are so strong, they can't allow themselves to believe that they've been duped. And that shot went out to what, 3 or 4 or 5 billion people? Who knows what's in the shots that went around the world? They could be all different. And people still can't buy into the fact that they were lied to. If we're going to make it through whatever's ahead of us, if we're going to survive as a country and as a species, then we have to get back to three very basic principles: transparency, honesty, and accountability. If we don't get back to those three things as a society, we're never going to make it. And I will contend to you that we have not seen accountability in this country for over 100 years. That's where we're at as a society. Nothing that we see from mainstream that's being fed to us by the elite is real. None of it. It's all garbage. And I will contend to you that most of the elite that are running the show right now are all psychopaths. Sociopaths and psychopaths. These people are insane. Their belief systems are completely divorced from reality. Their objectives are completely divorced from reality. And everything that we see from them is a facade. Everything. Like the AI bubble, when that finally bursts in a few months, everybody's going to look at that and go, yeah, we thought so. It's like crypto. You know, everybody talked about blockchain, blah, 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 blah. Blockchain. Nobody could tell you what it was or how you implement it or how it's used or how it secures anything. That's just blockchain. It's really secure. Yeah, what the fuck does it do? How do you implement it? How does the encryption work? Oh, shit, I don't know that. Nobody could answer the question. You know, I interviewed with all these different crypto companies and I asked them one quintessential question. Explain to me how blockchain works. And they couldn't do it. I'm like, no, thanks. You're going to fail. At least 6 different companies. Same thing with AI. I've had calls. AI works. How do you teach it? Oh, well, you feed all this data in, and then you got to feed it the right questions. Well, how'd that work out for Google? Because Google's AI is retarded. It's a liberal retard. You know, self-licking ice cream cone of liberalism and stupidity, not based in reality. So if that's how you do it, you guys are going to fail. And I would contend to you that AI is an algorithm anyway, and nobody's perfected it, and it's going to fall flat on its face because how do you monetize it? And the people that are going to make money are the ones that figure out how to do something with it. Like, I could feed shit into Grok. Grok gives me a picture. Ooh. Big deal. How do you monetize that? So we're seeing the end of another bubble, right? We're seeing the end of the housing bubble too. So everything they're telling us, like the tariff conversation right now. I don't give two shits about tariffs. It's the latest distraction away from the fact that they haven't arrested anybody and they're still whitewashing the records and changing history that Israel was doing evil criminal shit. That's what it all is. It's noise to cover the fact that they're still whitewashing the records. Do I think tariffs are going to work? I don't care. The economy is still going to fail. The system's too corrupt and can't correct itself. The government's too corrupt and can't correct itself. The judiciary is too corrupt and can't correct itself. The executive branch is so corrupt, it's not even funny. And the legislative branch is completely ineffective and on their ass. They can't do anything. Their whole job is to be more ineffective than they were the day before. It's a self-licking ice cream cone of dysfunction and stupidity. And I can't believe that anybody would pay attention to anything any of those assholes have to say. You're talking about the same group of people that allowed 42 million people to enter this country. No laws to stop it, amended no laws to stop it, held no one accountable, made no resolution from any of their congressional hearings, and passed nothing substantial. The only thing they passed in the last 5 years was more detrimental to the American people than helpful. The SAFE Act, the Green New Deal, and all the other shit they pushed through. And the same people that pushed it through are still in office talking the same shit, doing. Why do you listen to them? They're all fucking retarded. They're all controlled by AIPAC. They're all owned by oligarchs. They don't work for the American people. I don't care what comes out of their mouth. They're all just fucking retards. And MTG can run around and say whatever she wants to say. You're still the gangbang girl. You were still blowing Kevin McCarthy when he was Speaker of the House, knowing full well he's going to fuck over the American people like Mike Johnson. Give me a break. You know more virtuous than anybody else. You're just as far. So don't sell me a bill of goods that you're doing your best. You haven't done shit. None of you have. And as far as I'm concerned, all go to Gitmo and we could sort it out there of just how many crimes you've committed against the American people. Because you could start with money laundering and fraud and work your way up the ladder from there to treason. Because half of these assholes, Ilhan Omar, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, all committed treason. Why would you listen to them? Why would you spend one nanosecond spending any time considering any word that comes out of their mouth? These people are career liars. They have lied to us for 40 years. They set conditions for this to happen. It was on their watch. All of this malfeasance. And here's why I'm so passionate about this. When you're in the military and you swear the oath, you take the oath knowing that it could cost you your life. But you take that oath knowing that you're willing to give up your life, maintain, and defend the Constitution. That's what you sign up for. I want to know why all of these assholes have not had the same oath applied to them. The fact that they've broken public confidence, they've broken the trust with the public, is treason. Just like the bankers, we give trust to the bankers that they're going to manage the money that we put in their institution, and they're going to manage it effectively. And they're not going to grift us, they're not going to defraud us, and they're not going to steal our money. But twice now, we have allowed them to break the public trust and not held anybody accountable. I can tell you that as a field grade officer, oath even today, I'm still a commissioned officer. If I break my oath today, I go to Gitmo or I go to Leavenworth. Even today, if I break the secrecy and disclose things that I saw way back when in detail, or violate and release any of the nuclear codes that I saw years and years ago, I go to prison. Why are they different? Why aren't they held accountable? I'll tell you why. because the system is broken beyond repair. It has to fail now in order for us to get to a place where we can reset and set conditions for the system to work properly. And most people have to reset their value system and reset their belief system to be able to accept the truth when they hear it, because the truth is going to be way worse than what we've seen so far. And I mean way worse, meaning the politicians were directly involved in human and child trafficking. Politicians were directly involved, and bankers were directly involved with the drug trade that's killed millions of Americans. Politicians, bankers, and business icons were involved in the opium that was distributed to U.S. and sold to U.S. soldiers in Vietnam. Way worse. And I believe that those disclosures are coming, whether it's a controlled release or an uncontrolled release, but I believe they're coming because the rumblings are there and we're seeing more and more of it. Again, that's the reason why I'm discussing these topics, so that when the shit actually hits the ground, you can go, yeah, I can, that's possible. That's plausible. I might need to look at this in more detail. And the real tell is going to be the Giza Plateau. If this stuff's real, go dig under those pyramids and show us it's real. Go dig a tunnel down to one of those pillars and show us it's real. Stop running your mouth. Stop telling me about synthetic aperture radar. Go prove it now. If your new way of looking at this is real and this supposedly could penetrate the ground, then show me the goods. Show me the real estate. Show me the evidence. That's what's coming next. Now, whether it happens or not, we'll see. But when I see it, I'll believe it. Until then, I'm going to stay skeptical, and you should too. I should be back on Monday with the situation report. Roundtable is up in the air. We're still going to do the roundtable on the magnetic pole shift. There may be four or five of us on here. Look, I'll give you the 411 on this. And This is something that I anticipated, which I'm glad has shown up in the group, right? There's healthy skepticism on both sides of the fence of whether this pole shift thing is real. And I'm glad there is, because if we were in a group, you know, there's 20 or 30 of us in this group, you know, on the same page, and it was an echo chamber, that we wouldn't be doing our job for you, and we wouldn't be doing justice to the population if we didn't analyze it from both perspectives. So I'm hoping to have folks on both sides of the fence on the show so we can talk about the pros and cons. Because the reality is, you know, just because the poles shift doesn't mean the Earth's going to tilt on its axis, right? And I don't know how much of this shit's real anyway. But I'm examining this stuff as it comes across just to give you some idea of what would it look like if this was real, right? Because you got to consider it. Doesn't mean you have to believe it, but you got to consider it. So look for that next week. And hopefully I'll be feeling better by the time that happens. Until then, God bless. One team, one fight.